introduction, I also don't need to tell you how thankful I am to be with you tonight and to see so many dear loved ones again. And it has been quite some time. Y'all remember how emotional I can get, so I try to keep that in check. Brother Charles, I love you too, and I miss you too. Miss all of you. I'm thankful for God's grace, mercy, blessings in our life, and certainly ask that you continue to pray as I stand before you tonight. Psalm 65, verses 1 through 4. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Last night I tried to speak on verse 1. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. This morning we tried to speak on verses 2, 3, and the first part of verse 4. And tonight, if the Lord is indeed leading us and trust that He is, we'd like to speak on the latter part of that fourth verse, where the psalmist says that He may dwell in thy courts. So, just as a quick overview or summary, more so than of the first few verses. Praise waiteth for thee. I'll try to be really brief and not try to repeat something that I've already tried to speak on. But I think a beautiful companion text for that verse 1 would be Psalm 100 and verse 4. David writes, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." God expects us to assemble ourselves together, to come together, and when we come together, that we enter into the court, the church of God, his house. When we enter into his courts, we enter in with thanksgiving and praise. And he expects that. We certainly trust and hope that he's going to come and visit us in a very manifest way, and when he gets here, he's expecting praise to be waiting for him. And verse 2, you really don't have to say, just let this sink in. O thou who hearest prayer.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
The God of glory, the great God of heaven and earth, the King of kings and Lord of lords. O thou who hearest prayer. David writes in the 66th Psalm, the very next chapter, he says in verse 19, "But verily God hath heard me, he hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." I tell you, dear friends, God hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. He always answers our prayer. May not be like we want it to be answered, but he always answers prayer. "Unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me." Sometimes, well, David writes, he writes a personal experience to explain this, found in Psalm 40 and verse 12. "For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me." In Psalm 38, verse 4, "For mine iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." Sometimes, even though we are blessed with the sweet knowledge that Jesus Christ has paid for every sin that we have ever committed or ever will commit, sometimes in life our iniquities swell up and consume us and overtake us. Oh, but the sweet message of God's Word says, be of good courage. Be strong. Take heart. Because we are so blessed. In fact, he says in the rest of that verse, "As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away."
Amen.
You know, it is amazing. Been thinking about this quite a bit lately and spoke about it some this morning. It is, and last night as well. Friends, I want us to truly, because I know I've taken this for granted, I want us to truly understand how blessed we are to be in the New Testament Church of Christ.
Amen.
How blessed we are to be worshiping God this side of Calvary. You notice where David says, thou shalt purge them away? He was expecting that, and he had a hope. I believe he certainly had a hope that Christ, that a Messiah, that a Savior would come and purge them away. Friends, we've been blessed to know He did purge our sins. He has purged our sins. God has accepted His sacrifice, and we are going to heaven based on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee. If you are talking to someone about the doctrine of election and they have a very difficult time understanding it, which many people do, and if God hasn't really opened your eyes to see it, it's hard to see. Once the Lord opens your eyes, it's so easy. It's like, how did I miss it? It was right there. It's all throughout the Word of God. But something you can do to try to help them focus on understanding the doctrine of election is to point them to study on the sovereignty of God.
Amen.
And to show them how in that sovereignty God is the potter and we are just the clay. But blessed is the man. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 4, I don't know if he's quoting this verse exactly, but he's certainly alluding to it when he says, even as David, the psalmist says, even as David describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I tell you what, dear friends, no matter what, if the Lord doesn't bless you another speck in your life, anymore in your life, you still have reason to praise Him all your life because He has not, He will not impute your sins on your account.
Amen.
In fact, He will impute the righteousness of Christ on your account. And as Christ, we understand, took upon our sins and bore our sins on the cross. So certainly, it's hard not to say more about that. I want to talk about the latter part. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. That's man, woman, and child. In this day of identity crisis, I just want y'all to understand, when the Bible speaks of man, He's speaking of man, woman, child, old, young. It's man, right? We are all man. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. I wonder, have you ever wondered, why did the Lord choose me? I certainly didn't deserve it. Well, you didn't either. But you know, I mean, why did the Lord choose us? Why did He choose anyone? I tell you, when you think about God's choice, that's the thing that I think of. Why did God choose anybody? He chose the unlovable. He saved the unsavable. He redeemed the unredeemable. That we were enemies to Him. We were enmity against Him. And yet He died for us when we were yet sinners and enemies to God. Why would He choose anyone? And I'm not going to go into that. It was because of His love, His unconditional foreknowledge, foreloving of His people. But here's another reason why God is so good to us, why God has blessed us. It's so that His people may dwell in His courts.
Amen.
Take your friend. Now, we understand there are countless millions of God's people. They're God's people. Heaven is their home. Maybe they've heard the gospel. Maybe they haven't heard the gospel. Maybe they did hear the gospel, but they've rejected it. If Christ died for them, they're still going to heaven. They're still blood-bought and heaven-bound. But there are, we understand that there is a remnant of God's huge, innumerable family. There is a people, and access is actually available to every child of God. I tell you what, you know what I'm thankful for? Why was I blessed to be born in America? I mean, oh my goodness. Why was I blessed to be born in an old Baptist family? Because, you know, I didn't believe it when I was growing up. I mean, Dad was the preacher, but y'all know this. I've told the story before. I slept through the first 18 years of my life in church. You know, I mean, it was Dad. He got up there. His voice just lulled me to sleep. And so I didn't really start listening to preaching. I joined the church when I was 15. I joined not because I believed what they believed on. I didn't really understand. But Brother Kevin and I were kind of talking about that earlier. I really didn't understand all the doctrines. I joined because I knew the Lord was with this group of people. I felt loved there. There was something that was drawing me. I was kind of like Ruth to Naomi. There was something about them that just drew me to them, and I wanted to be a part of it. So I joined before I truly ever understood the doctrines of grace. But once God started working on me and started showing, opening my heart, my eyes, and my understanding to the Word of God, then I thank God I knew exactly where to go.
Amen.
To hear it. I tell you, the first sermon that really touched me, I was 19, and it was Elder Bill Caraway from Oklahoma. Y'all, we called him Elder Carried Away because he was kind of long-winded. he could go for over an hour, and he was like the second of three preachers. It's like, oh, you know, but Brother Carried Away, he got up. I love that, dear brother. I tell you, because he was the first one. I remember it was hot. It was the First Primitive Association of Texas. So it's first weekend in August. It was hot. Humid, it's like 152 degrees outside. But I remember sitting under that tabernacle, and that brother who, from all instances before, had always just went on forever. And I tell you what, he preached to my heart. And I heard it, and it was right to me. That message was just for me. Oh, I remember that so clearly. Hey, God, thank you so much for blessing me when I finally started seeing the beautiful truths of thy word.
Amen.
I knew exactly where it was, and I was in a country where I could worship thee.
Amen.
As the Bible teaches.
Oh,
blessed. Oh, blessed. You know, all of our blessings of life stem from the fact that we were chosen by God before the foundation of the world. Everything stems from that. Blessed is the man, is the people that are chosen by God and are caused to approach unto thee. John chapter 6, 37, verse 4. The Lord says, no man can come unto me. Or he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and all that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. You know, you talk about the surety, definiteness. I don't think that's a word. I don't know. What's the word? The definiteness of God's salvation. The surety, the effectual, maybe that's where, the effectuacy of Christ's work on the cross and God's saving grace. I tell you what, dear friends, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and I will in no wise cast out. Well, how do you come to Christ? He tells us that no man can come to me except the Father draw him. Oh, blessed is the man whom God chooses and causes to approach unto thee.
Yeah, right.
Part of the reason he does that, one, it's based on his love. Part of the reason, dear friends, is because he expects his children to dwell in his courts.
Yeah, amen.
To dwell in his courts. That he may dwell in thy courts. Psalm 132. David writes this in the 132nd Psalm. There's a lot of light here, but I think I still need glasses. That's terrible. Ugh, man.
So, I
understand that because it hadn't yet. So I don't expect it's going to. Psalm 132. David writes in verse 12, "If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion." Now listen, dear friends, we're talking about Zion. I meant to go over to Hebrews, and y'all still got that short Sunday night thing. I'm just going to hopefully follow the Spirit and try not to be too long tonight. It's Sunday evening, I understand that, and I got to get home to Arkansas. But I tell you, although I might want to eat first before I leave, so we'll just let you know. But Paul says in Hebrews chapter 12, I think, "For we are not come to Mount Sinai." You know, the Mount Sinai, that mountain that fear and quake. I mean, if a beast touched it, they were struck down. And Moses exceedingly feared and quaked when he saw Mount Sinai. We're not come to that, dear friends. We're come to Mount Zion, the city of God, a gracious place, a wonderful place. And I can't get it all, so let me try to get it real quickly. Verse 21, "And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake, but we are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." I tell you what, dear friends, how blessed we are to be in the church of the Lord, of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And we ought to dwell in the courts of God. Oh, doesn't God deserve our sacrifice to come and dwell in His courts and praise His name?
Right.
He's greatly to be praised. Right? God is all great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Psalm 132 again. "For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for His habitation." Now, friends, what God is asking us to do, listen, I said this last night, it's a win-win situation. All right? It may take a little effort on our part to dedicate ourselves to being a good, faithful member of the Lord's church, to be there Sunday in, Sunday out, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, whenever the church meets, I'm there to be faithful to the church. Listen, He was faithful to save you from your sins. Ought we not to be faithful to Him and serving Him and worshiping Him and praising His wondrous, glorious name? But if you do that, friends, it's a win-win situation. Because listen, this is what God has designed. It moves, sorry. Oh my goodness. It's not nailed down. I got to be careful. Alright. This is a place. We understand that the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad you got such a good laugh out of that. I'm thankful that I was able to provide that. And we'll talk about that one for years to come, right? Alright. This is not most sure and steadfast. I'll tell you this. Our hope is better than this pulpit. Because it's not sure and steadfast. But the Lord said that He set up His church. He set it up just like He wanted to set up. It's designed exactly like He wanted to design it. It is built on the precious, wonderful doctrine that He is the Son of God, the Holy One of Israel, the Savior of God's people. I tell you, it's built on, again, we're the pillar and ground of the truth. But here's something amazing. Zion is also here. Because this is where God says, I'm going to habitate. I've set Zion up for a place that I may come and dwell with men.
Right.
Men, man, woman, child. I will. He says, this is, He hath desired Zion for His habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Oh, I tell you what, dear friends. This is the place, the church of the living God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the house of prayer, the church of God, whatever we want to call it, the church of Christ. Dear friends, this place, that's when we assemble ourselves together as the church of the living God, this is where He says, I will rest forever and will dwell. And we dwell with Him. All of these blessings God has done that we might dwell in His courts. And you talk about a win-win, it's also where He's going to dwell while we dwell. Isaiah chapter 35. In the book of Isaiah chapter 35. Y'all, Brother Kevin, forgive me. I don't know. I'm really not pleased with the preaching last night and this morning. And maybe I'm being too hard on myself. I don't know. But I think it's all leading up. I hope it's all leading up to this moment. That we understand how important the house of God is.
Yeah,
that we understand that we need to be here. And pray. He deserves our effort to praise His wondrous name. Isaiah chapter 35. He says, verse 3, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God will come with with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall pass away. I tell you what, dear friends, this whole world's a wilderness. It's a desert land.
Yeah.
There's nothing out there for me. Sometimes I try to think there is. Or I've spent a few years trying to find it. But there's no water out there. There's nothing that can tame my thirst or feed my soul. It's here in the house of God, in the courts of God's precious house, that He has said, there will be rest here for the weary. There will be water here for the thirsty. There will be food here for the hungry. Your soul will be fed. Your spirit will be fed. There I will come and I will visit and habitate and dwell with you there.
Amen.
And ye shall find rest. Oh, that we might dwell in the courts of God. Book of Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 10. Zechariah says, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. Listen, friends. I know how easy it is. It happens to me. It happens to preachers, right? It does. How I take the church for granted. I take the Lord's blessings for granted. How I sometimes just start going through the motions of, you know I need to go to church, and so I go to church. And even when I have that attitude, I'm still always blessed more than when I leave than when I came. But sometimes I'm not going with the right attitude or the right dedication. Yeah, I've been so guilty of saying, well, come on, y'all, we got to go to church. You got to go to church. What? Where I should be saying, oh, wake up. It's time to go. What did David say? I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Where's Tim? Where's that attitude? Huh? Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. For lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. I hope, if you've been like me and have taken the Lord's church for granted and just kind of gone through, this is for me. And for you, if necessary. Let us remember and understand that when we come to this place and we assemble ourselves as the church of God, the God of glory is coming.
Yeah.
That's right.
The God of glory is coming. Don't be thinking, oh, Brother Mike's preaching again this morning. Yeah, don't be thinking that. It doesn't matter if it's Brother Mike, Brother Josh, or Brother Paul, or Brother Chuck. It doesn't matter. Brother Danny, it doesn't matter. Brother Kevin. It doesn't matter who stands up here. May we come to church with the thought, the Lord is coming. The Lord of glory is going to be there. The God of heaven and earth. The God, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. The almighty, sovereign power of the universe, the maker of everything, is coming. It's coming. That's amazing, friends.
That's right.
That's amazing. And I tell you what, if the dear old brother is up there and he just doesn't have it, God, listen, that happens, right?
Amen.
I mean, the old preacher's up there and he just doesn't have it today. Listen, don't be thinking, well, you know, he just doesn't have it. Let's, you know, he just needs to close it up. Let's go eat lunch. No, don't be thinking that. You pray.
Yeah.
You know, if it's 11:58 and he's been going for 58 minutes and still hadn't preached a lick, you pray, Lord, thy kingdom come right now at the last. Listen, we don't know if he's coming in the first watch, the second watch, the third watch, or the fourth watch. We don't know when the Lord's coming, but oh, he's coming.
Amen. Yeah.
And so if you hadn't seen him yet, pray, Lord, thy kingdom come. Bring it now, right? Bring it now. And then we'll go eat, right? Food's going to be there. It's not going away. Jeremiah, book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. Beautiful words found here in the book of Jeremiah. Hear the word, verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattereth Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Amen. Right? God's redeemed us. He's ransomed us from something that was stronger than we were. Therefore, because he's ransomed us, because he's redeemed us, therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil. Weren't we talking about that, dear brother? There's wheat and there's wine and there's oil. For the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow anymore at all. I tell you what, dear friends, I believe with all my heart we are trying as best we can to adhere to the proper form of worship, the proper mode of worship that Christ Himself set up. The little ones ought to be right there in those pews, friends. Y'all forgive me if that offends anybody, but that's what the Bible teaches. I tell you what, the Spirit of God doesn't only affect those of a certain age or not age. The Spirit of God can affect a child. Listen, the Spirit of God came to John the Baptist while he was still in his mother's womb and gave him spiritual life. You don't think that a little 2-year-old or a 2-month-old can't feel the Spirit of God?
That's right.
I believe they can.
Amen.
The old and the young alike are there. And there they'll be like a garden, a watered garden, for they shall not sorrow anymore at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them and make them rejoice from the sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. You know what the best preaching is? If you're a minister, it is an amazing thing. This is not patting any preacher, especially not me, on the back. Here's an amazing thing. When God blesses the church in such a way that the minister himself is satiated and filled with fatness, that's amazing. By his own preaching. Listen, someone asked me last night, is it just you, Brother Tim? Your family didn't come with you? It's like, no, yeah, it's just me. They're not going to drive 300 miles to hear me preach. No. We get that every Sunday. We just drive 10 miles. We hear you preach. Why are we going to drive 300 miles? I don't think it's 300 miles, but however far it is. Why would we drive 300 miles to hear you preach? Right? You know? Well, it's kind of the same thing. I wouldn't drive, listen, friends, I wouldn't drive 300 miles. I wouldn't drive 30 miles to hear me preach. Except the Lord be with the man. Then I drive 1,000 miles to hear the gospel of my salvation preached in demonstration of the Spirit of God and in the power of God. Because that's what feeds the soul. That's what satiates us and makes us fat. This is a good thing. Listen, I know I'm fat. Brother Doug, you didn't have to say, it wasn't Brother Doug, it was someone else. It's like, it was Brother Paul. Yes, you did. He said, I said, I've gained a little weight. He said, yes, you have. That's all right. Just being honest. Brother Paul has always got honesty going. I love it. I need to hear it. This kind of fatness is a good fatness, all right? This is not like this right here that you see and I can't button anymore. It's pretty bad. But in the house of God, when God comes down and dwells with us and manifests His precious Spirit amongst us, and we feel Him and it feeds our souls, it recharges our battery, and we become satisfied. That's what it is. Satiated. Satisfied with His goodness. And we grow fat. This is a good fat. Because He is so good. Listen, His storehouse is always full and never empty.
Amen.
Oh, there's so many places to go. I feel like I need to start wrapping this up. But really, Psalm 48. Y'all know Psalm 48. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion. And go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces. Friends, I tell you what. Us older, we're all getting older, right? Look around. I got grandkids. My gracious, I'm old. I got grandkids now. I don't know if this is attributed to Dave Ramsey, but that's who I heard it from. Amen. If I'd known grandkids were so great, I'd have had them first. There's some truth to that. It's great. You get to love them and spoil them and give them back. That's just amazing. Thank you, Lord, for grandchildren. I love it. Oh, my gracious. They're sick. They smell. You just hand them to their parents. I love it. That's great. I don't know where I was going with that. I was going to make a point, but... that rabbit didn't chase it. We're older. I'm older. You're older. We're all older, right? Got new little ones now, and thankful for that. We're older. Friends, it's upon us to know Zion so well.
That's right.
That we've walked about her so many times that we've told the towers thereof, we've marked the bulwarks of the Lord's church, that we know Zion so well that we can teach the generation to come.
Amen.
That's upon us. Oh, God has so blessed us, right? God so blessed us in the church, in His church. May we be so faithful to Him in His church that we're able to pass it down to the next generation.
Yeah.
I heard you say Psalm 84, right? A day in thy court, better than a thousand. Now, I'll close it to two more places. We read Psalm 100. So sorry about that. Psalm 116. David writes in the 116th Psalm, and this ties back to Psalm 65. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. For, you know, how many times have I said it this weekend? I ought to have it memorized, right? And unto thee, unto God, shall the vow be performed. David writes in Psalm 116, what shall I render unto the Lord? And we said last night, we can't ever repay Him. We're a gazillion dollars in debt and don't have a penny to our name. He paid that debt. He paid every penny of it. Every sin has been covered by the blood of Christ. Friends, heaven is our home because of what Christ did for us on the cross of God. Doesn't give us the license to keep sinning. But what a blessed thing to know that if I do fall and falter, that's been paid for too. I can't repay Him except that I praise His name. That I adore Him. I worship Him. I exalt His name. I glorify Him who died for us. What shall I render unto God who saved us, redeemed us, loved us with an everlasting love? What shall I render to God for what He's done for me? David gives us the answer. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? David says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. You want to repay God? You want to, that's not the best word, but you want to render something unto God for what He's done for you? Not just eternally, but every day of our life. Isn't God good to us every day?
Amen.
Gives us living grace. Waking up. I tell you what, I'm thankful for waking up in the morning grace these days. He gives us grace for every aspect of our life. Do you want to render something back to God? Here it is. You pay your vows now in the presence of all His people. Listen, it's good. It's good. We need to go in our closets and pray. I'm not saying anything, but those are good things. You need to have the time and the study and meditation of God's Word. That's important and everything. But God is... I mentioned this last night and this morning. There in the book of Isaiah, we'll no longer be called desolate or forsaken, but we'll be called Hephzibah. And that means my delight is in her. Yes. Friends, God delights when His children gather together in His court and offers praise and adoration to His name. That's what God delights in. You want to pay your vow? You want to repay God? You want to render something unto God for all that He's done for you? Now in the presence of all His people, you pay your vows. You know what that is? It's offering praise unto His name. Oh, alright. I said that was the last one. I lied. I want to go to other places real quick. This is beautiful. I heard this in a message a couple of weeks ago, and just a beautiful thought. In Psalm 8 and verse 2, we read, David writes, Psalm 8 verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. And then the Lord in Matthew chapter 21 quotes David, the psalmist David, Matthew chapter 21 and verse, let me get there real quick, I think verse 16. And we'll just see, I won't talk about what's going on here. This is what the Lord said. It's kind of scolding some of the Jews there. But he says, yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Yeah. Yeah. Now that's not what David said. David said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. But the Lord Jesus Christ rephrased it. He's saying the same thing, but he rephrased it. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. So ordained strength, perfected praise are equal. Do you need strength in your life? Do you need God, strengthen me? Help me? Do you want strength in your life? You know how we get our strength? Praising God.
Amen.
Praising God. It will make you strong. I love you all so much. I'm so thankful to be here. May God bless you is my prayer.
My wife and I